With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Disturbed, no more. 33 degrees in Kansas City. It's Johnny Dare, Nikki Pace, T-Bone, Jake, Greg. It is Thursday here in Kansas City. It's 33 degrees. And one of the first comedians I ever met in the business, one of the first friends I ever made in the business is Emery.
Born December 25th in Anaheim, California, and raised in Kansas City, Missouri. He launched his stand-up comedy career in the early 80s, landing his first solo gig at Stanford & Sons in 1984. He moved back to California in the early 90s, releasing his album, Purveyor of Filth, and moving on to a career in the film industry, editing the underground classic, The Aristocrats. He hosts his own podcast, Ardent Atheist. And you can see him live this weekend at the Comedy Club of Kansas City. Please welcome, old friend of the show, Emery.
Look at you, you handsome bastard. Look at you, and I don't even feel like time has passed, man.
It's really amazing. I mean, walking in here, seeing you, first of all, you look great.
Thank you.
Phenomenal. I appreciate that. I've lost a whole bunch of weight, but it's interesting because last time you saw me, I really didn't have a lot of weight on.
No.
I walk in, you're like, you look the same. I'm like, yeah. You son of a bitch, I do not.
You know how hard I worked?
The hell I do.
Yes.
I've been gone that long.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to explain to Nick, I go, these are different times now. I go, we're a lot less careless with our bodies and the drugs that we would put into them and the different things that we would do.
Stellar choices.
There was a moment in time that was pretty fun.
I'm a lot more careless now with that sort
would
of stuff.
Would you say so?
But I am. I smoke a hookah every day.
Really?
Yeah. I eat as much Molly as I want. I do. The older I get, the more of that stuff I do.
Well, I plan on going back into it full bore at a certain point. You know, never do it during your earning years, I think. You know, try to wait till you're, I'm not really happy myself, I'm peeing my pants.
At some point, you're just going to go straight to the heroin and you're out.
Oh, I can't wait to start smoking.
Yeah, see, that's not the way I'm doing it. I really just enjoy the stuff that's not addictive now.
Sure.
Yeah.
No, the mushrooms, because I'll go to Amsterdam and just eat a ton of psychedelics and wander about for a few days.
Okay,
and,
so you still get that.
Oh, sure.
Oh, good. To me, those all should be legal as far as I'm concerned.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Other than, you know, people walking into traffic and, you know, that thins the herd.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's weed, for whatever reason, still doesn't agree with me.
I've never liked it.
And not neither have I. And it's too powerful now. Now I'm just like, Jesus Christ, you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I've only done it maybe four times in my whole life. Every time I do it, I'm sorry that I've done it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? The last time I gave it a shot, a friend of mine was like, have you ever smoked kefir? Is that right? Am I saying that right?
It's like the powdery crust, right?
Yeah. So I'm like, no, I've done this twice. And he's like, you haven't tried the best. Have this. Hours. I'm sitting in front of my own mirror, and I'm not making this up or joking. I'm literally trying to cure my own eyesight problem. I wear glasses, have since I was younger, and I sit in front of a mirror trying to cure it. And I don't know how much time went by.
How does one cure it?
It actually worked.
You're wearing glasses.
It worked. No. But here's what happened. I'm staring in the mirror. I have a book. I'm looking in the mirror. And I'm just working. And I think for hours. And finally, the book goes clear. Everything in the book looks clear. And I scream to my roommate, Trevor, who gave me the stuff. I go, get in here. I just cured my own eyesight. He comes running in. He goes, what happened? I explain to him. He goes, do it now. Let me watch. He does it. I do it. He watches. He goes, yeah, You're just squinting. You have an astigmatism. That's how that works. Pot sucks, man. It's not a good drug.
Yeah, I was like, what? There's no chance this is real. Like,
yeah, no.
But you can hallucinate yourself into all kinds of stuff. I hate the whompers when you get high.
Yeah.
That womp, womp, womp. Yeah. I'm like, oh, this is a terrible feeling. I hate this. Yeah. On the other hand, I one time broke apart my own furniture watching. We were listening to a band called the Murder Dolls on the stereo Bach volume, watching the Andy Kaufman movie with Jim Carrey. It was the Santa scene where he dies, and the Murder Dolls are at full bore. And we have a fire going, and I'm suddenly afraid because we've run out of firewood. And I started breaking apart my own furniture and burning it in the fireplace. We were so high on mushrooms.
Really?
Yeah,
mushrooms made me think I was seeing Satan, and I freaked out pretty badly.
See,
once.
I never had anything bad like that. I just got a lot of ideas in my head. So we're watching that you know, coffin movie. Hey, this is just... This is it, Mach volume. And they're doing the, when he's playing Carnegie Hall and he takes everybody out for milk and cookies.
Right, right, right.
And I remember that, and I'm like, we're almost out of wood. We're almost out of wood. And I went downstairs and found a table I didn't like, and they're like, what are you doing? I go, I'm breaking it apart. We're almost out of wood. And my girlfriend at the time was trying to get me to calm down, and I wasn't too wound up, but she's like, hey, take off your shoes. I was like, no. And she's like, why won't you take off your shoes? And I go, you don't know when you gotta go.
Yeah.
That's pretty smart.
You are thinking there, right?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, I didn't. I really freaked out because I saw Satan on my TV. And then, I don't know, about 3-4 weeks after this happened, I'm watching MTV. Back when they used to play music is when this happened, right? Yeah. And it was Ozzy.
Mm-hmm.
And what I saw while on mushrooms... It was what I saw. It's just what it was. He turned into Satan in a video, which I had never seen. So I thought I was having a bad trip. I was just watching Ozzy Osbourne.
My friend Jesse will tell you the time he took acid. So he sings with his band Jackal. Great band. Great dear friend. Talked to him every day for almost 15 years. He one day relates to me, and he was never a big drug guy.
Yeah.
When I met him, he was sober for his first two records. I mean, just he managed himself. Because he needed to get it done.
I see.
So he didn't drink anything. But he had taken LSD as when he was 17 down in Kennesaw, Georgia, and I. Then he was like, nah, I don't like this. Nope, I definitely don't like this. He thought he could run it off. So he went outside in cowboy boots, and he ran as far and as long and as hard as he could, thinking that would somehow bring it through your system faster.
Oh, no.
Oh, you're just a sweaty hot acid trip then, right?
Oh, wow.
So he goes back. To this person's house, and he goes, man, he's got that southern. I goes, I'm freaking out pretty bad. He goes, but I still maintain it. But I was looking at this fruit on the table. This fruit had faces on it. I'm looking at this fruit on the table, and it's in the bowl, and it's got faces. And I stared at it, and then it was just too much. So I went to a closet until the day came. And I guess he must have dozed off, and he got sober. And he went, you know, he passed through everything over for 5 or 6 hours, how long it took. Went back out, looked at the table. And this is what reminded me, the fruit's still there, still has faces because it's plastic fruit. And it's just a decoration that's on the goddamn table. But it almost put him over the edge because he was like, why would fruit have faces on it?
That's pretty demonic.
This is what they say happens. Now I'm never going to come back from this. You know?
You don't take hallucinogens without a spotter as a rule. That's the way to do this, you know? That's
you can't be uneven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to have someone who can go, dude, we decided to do this. Here's what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm a Molly guy. I like Molly, which is, you know.
I don't think there's any more real Molly at all.
In L.A., we have pure MDMA.
I'd like to go there.
Come on out.
I'll come. I'd like to go there.
Yeah, I have it in crystal form. It's amazing.
This is why Emery and I had to separate ourselves 2,000 miles.
Right?
Probably not a bad idea.
It was just...
I think any drug that lets me want to be sexual for 8 hours is a good drug.
Yes, are you kidding me? I'm over there rubbing myself down with it like it's a loofah.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I'm
fantastic.
55 years old. I can use the boost.
Yeah, right?
I mean, I like sex. Mm-hmm. And I want to continue to like sex. So that's the drug I've found. And I don't need Viagra. I just need to be interested.
Yeah. I say so.
Right?
Good.
You find yourself getting too weird on it?
Not on that one.
But can
no.
you? Well, let me rephrase it. Have you ever found yourself too weird ever?
Yeah, when I take K, that stuff is nuts.
Is it?
Yeah.
They're using it to treat depression now.
Which is great.
Therapy.
I'm glad they're doing studies on this stuff, and they should be. And that's very good. But when you do a lot of K, wow. I was just so lost. And I remember for hours laying in a huge bed next to a girlfriend, mm-hmm. and both of us just completely oblivious. And when I got up the next day, I remembered being confused by this wild, wild, rushing sound that I heard every day because it was just the planes going over on the way to Burbank Airport. Every day I heard that. But I was in such a weird place.
Sure.
I didn't even know what I heard every day was.
Yeah, no, that's...
So K's not the best drug.
It can do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he leaves Kansas City. Now, this is not before he cut a path of destruction, banned from the comedy club here.
Right.
I didn't know that was possible, by the way.
Yeah,
I had no idea.
Who knew you could get banned by Glazer?
Yeah,
I mean,
right?
Other than, unless you demanded your record.
You gotta get out of my car. You're not allowed in this club. You don't do enough cocaine that I sell.
Okay.
Now, Craig is gone now. And I'll be honest, I miss him. Only because he was such an entertaining car wreck maniac.
Yeah.
You know, you couldn't trust the guy. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that I'm like, and he was suing me when he died.
He was not.
Yeah. No, he sued me for $6 million when he died.
Why?
This is my favorite. And I had to, you know, we had to get lawyers the whole bit. But they're like, did you call him a racist? I go, only because he is. I go, and here's the, we've got his girlfriend talking about how he can't finish unless he drops the N-word all over.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Do you think he's a racist?
No, not really. Probably so, though. I don't know. He says weird things sometimes when we have sex. Did you call him?
It just went on. And then talked about it was part of it was saying that he did drugs. I go, hold on. That's not me saying it. That's me quoting him. Let me take you to page 252 of his book, his biography.
Right.
You know, so it was that silly.
He never would have won.
He just needed money. He was hoping somebody would pay. He was just broke, man. In the end, that's what I figured out. And he was sick, and he didn't tell anybody he was sick.
Right.
And, you know, and it's just, I wouldn't wish it on anybody.
Right.
Man. So, I kind of miss him. But one of the greatest was, there's a quote. Let me see if I can find this real quick. I got to make a t-shirt out of this, and you'll understand when I show you.
Okay.
It even freaked the lawyers out when they saw it. They go, did you say this? And I go, yeah. And he goes, I go, why? Is it actionable? And he goes, no, I just wanted to know if you really said that. I'll read. So defendant Caprifoli has habitually broadcast a false story involving money owed to him personally by the plaintiffs. He repeatedly stated that when plaintiff Craig Glazer passes away, he would dig up the coffin to harvest plaintiff Craig Glazer's gold teeth. That's in the goddamn lawsuit.
That's fantastic.
That's my favorite thing that's ever happened to me. I swear to God, I'm getting it on a t-shirt.
That's awesome.
I just thought it was great.
Where's he buried?
He is buried. I've got I know the name of it. I looked it up.
You're pretending. You've already got the teeth, haven't you?
No, they cremated him. Otherwise, I would have.
Oh, dang it.
Yeah.
What a waste of good drugs.
That's what I think.
Are you kidding me?
I am.
I would have snorted Craig Glazer if I had the opportunity.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would have wanted that.
I don't know. On the other hand, I don't want him in me.
Right? Mm. Man, I'm so high and racist.
I do miss him. Because you know what? You know how much he would love the fact that a year after his death, we are still talking about him.
Oh, absolutely.
That makes him somewhere, wherever he is, whenever you go, whether you don't go anywhere, whatever. If he could know that, he would be so happy.
Yeah.
That's all he ever wanted.
Yeah.
No, tombstone. And it bugs me a little bit, actually.
Really?
Because he owed me $15,000 when he died from that bar. And I was never going to see that. But
well, now I understand why he was suing you, by the way.
Yeah.
He just needed an excuse to never pay back what he owed you.
Yeah, no
that's
kidding.
That's how he works, dude.
Of course.
Exactly how he works.
Well, but I'm thinking about buying him a tombstone. So it says, but then I get the last word, right? You still owe me $15K, mother.
That would be great.
Yeah. And then
fantastic.
Then I feel better because he's marked, and I feel weird about that, him not being.
I think you need to buy the tombstone.
Yeah.
I think we need to go put it up somewhere. I want to film the whole process, and I want to put somebody in the ground to reach up and grab your hand as you put it there. That's what I want to have.
We talked
happen.
About doing a show,
yeah,
and getting a bunch of comedians over there who've been burned by him.
You mean all comedians?
And and calling it Roast the Ghost.
That would be fantastic, actually.
And
yeah.
Just put somebody up,
right.
Like a picture of him at a dais, the whole bit, and do an old school roast.
That's a great idea.
It's you know that I love the idea.
Yeah.
And I think we could get, I think we could fill the whole thing up.
Oh, no question.
Roast the ghost.
People would fly from every corner of the earth to see that.
And he would love it. Again, he would really love it.
Yeah.
He'd be as close to getting his movie made as ever if you tape it.
Right.
He wants that done so bad. That book he wrote, which was good. I mean, he never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
No, he did not.
But it was a good book.
Right.
It was a good read, man. Speaking of writing, I want to talk about this. If you just want to show Emery is with us. He started in Kansas City, went out to L.A. You worked. Well, you and Penn got to be good friends, right?
Yeah, I made a movie with Penn, The Aristocrats. He was the producer of that, and he put the money up, and we made that film.
Because I remember watching and seeing him, and I was like, Penn, you guys know? He's like, yeah, I know him. And I'm like, well, he's from here. Like, we know each other. I was like, man, that's so great.
Yeah, he texted me when he did that. We did another movie recently that's currently on Showtime, Gambler's Ballad, The Legend of Johnny Thompson.
Okay.
It's a little love piece about Johnny Thompson, the guy behind the magic. In other words, every great magic act that you and I and everybody else has seen over the last truly 20 or 30 years, Johnny Thompson is one of the minds behind those great pieces.
He was the one producing all these.
He's the guy that invents, creates, constructs, and works closely with Penn and Teller. And other people hire him. All the big names hire Johnny Thompson. He's dead now. He just recently passed away. But I got the opportunity to tell his life story before he died.
Night. And did he see it?
He did get to see it. And that made me so happy.
Sure.
Oh, my God. It made me happy. Yeah. We got it done before
how did
he died. He loved it. He was absolutely.
Well, don't we all wish we could see somebody honor us in that way before we're gone?
Right? Yeah. I'm sure nobody will do that for you and me. But I was really fortunate to be able to hit that mark just right. We worked our butt off and we hit it.
I've been watching. It's so funny.
You can see that on Showtime, by the way.
Already
on
Showtime.
It's on demand right now. It's on demand. Available on Showtime. You could go over to your Showtime. You could open it up right now and you can see Gambler's Ballad. And check out that movie. I directed.
How did you learn to direct?
I taught myself everything in film.
You've always been a great writer. You've always understood pacing and how things go together, things come in and go back. But directing to me is such.
I can answer that question like this. I got to work as the editor on The Aristocrats, and when I worked on that film, I went out and ran a camera and ran audio with Paul Provenza, who is a genius.
Yeah.
So I literally learned by watching. I watched Paul Provenza do interviews with really good, really smart, really amazing people, and I just figured out how to mirror him. I stole everything I know from Paul Provenza. He turned me into a filmmaker.
That's great.
So that's
how you
learn.
That's all of us learn, right? I mean, we have to watch somebody do something. You pick somebody who does it well, and you go, okay, I want to do it like that. I want to build a house like that. I want to be, whatever.
Right. When I did my podcast, Ardent Atheist and Skeptically Yours, I was literally doing you.
Don't get out of shot.
I was. Okay. I'm not even joking. I figured out how to talk to people on the radio by doing your show.
You knew the day you got walked in the first day.
No, I didn't.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's awfully nice.
Thank you.
Hold on. You're saying you don't believe in the Jesus?
Listen, first of all.
By the way, if you are very sensitive, this may not be the best part for you.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Kansas, everything seems to be changing. You know, I've been kind of out of comedy for 9 years.
Yeah.
This is the first headline spot I've done in 9 years. I've done sets around LA, right? And spots here and there. But I haven't headlined in a long time. And when I started putting together my show and trying to figure out what to do, first I'm coming back home to Kansas City where I know this is the Bible Belt. I have no idea how this audience today is going to react to the facts that I want to tell them,
Everybody's outraged about everything.
We're living in an outrage cancel culture right now.
Yes, it's stupid. And, it's ridiculous.
And by the way, before I left comedy, the earth was not flat. We had been to the moon.
I know.
And I think Nazis were a thing of the past.
Yeah, you thought
so
they were.
Everything has changed since I've been gone.
Yeah.
I have no idea if I'm going to be funny.
Listen, you are going to be funny. And he also has this streak, and I'm sure it never goes away in somebody like you, because there's that thing that you start to see somebody be a baby about the comedy or start to really, and then it's the worst thing anybody could do in front of a guy like you.
Yeah,
because you're just going to be like, oh, I'm sorry. Did you just get offended by that? Because now there's a whole other monster that lives inside of me that has to come out.
Right. There is a thing. And the minute I see, I go for the juggler. When I see that you've got a weakness.
It's awful. I'd laugh so hard. I remember you at the Roadhouse. Some girl had done something. Her phone rang. She cucked on the phone. She did something. But I've never heard the C word so many times in such repetitive loud voice.
Yeah, well, it was said so much, you really should refer to it as the unt word.
It was. It just became the unt word.
Yeah, yeah.
He was like a choo-choo train on the way out of her lip, like him following her out of the building going, unt, 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 like this.
Yeah.
Now I get, just thinking it was the greatest thing I'd ever seen.
I don't know how to be myself in today's world in many ways. You know, I got thrown off Facebook purely for calling myself a fag. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you called yourself a fag.
And I got kicked off for 3 days. I called myself. And by the way, according to the rules, black people can use the N-word, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah.
Women can say the C-word. Is that not right?
You're going to have to go suck a D in front of somebody.
You have no idea how much I have. I am bisexual. I'm openly bisexual now. Have been for about 8 years.
Good
you didn't
you.
Know that? Yes.
No, good for you.
And I don't even like it. I just really like saying faggot. I'm committed. I'm just committed.
Remember when I told you that's how far it goes? Yeah. It never changes in people, man. Like the core of the comedy is always there. It doesn't matter. I'm so happy you're directing. I'm glad you're writing.
Oh, thank you, brother.
Busy doing stuff and happy, man. Like, well, as happy as any of us could be, right? But you're...
I'm polyamorous, buddy. I'm as happy as you can get.
Yeah?
I have 3 girlfriends right now.
Good for you.
Which is... And I can't do that. I can't talk about that on... In comedy. If I say that as a comic standing on a stage, there's no way to make that funny, number one.
Yeah.
Unless, I'm serious, too.
Unless you hack it up.
And now I'm just bragging, right?
Right.
And trust me, not bragging.
He still swings. He and his wife still swing. Married for
23
years.
Why are you grossing me out?
I know, right?
Good God, man.
Dude, he is.
So you've been swinging, really, honestly, for a long time?
Yeah.
High five to you, my friend.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And his wife is hot. Hot and crazy hot.
I'm having trouble.
She's rapid cycling bipolar.
Having trouble.
And got her disability first time.
Yeah, I'm gonna need more Molly to believe in by
yeah,
this.
Yeah, no, it's for real. Huge cans. Her thing.
You and I are gonna show each other our pictures of our girlfriends.
This will be the third one. If you do that, don't do this to me.
I find out later.
My buddy Joe.
Yeah.
My buddy Amaya.
Yeah.
They swung with him.
Really?
And I'm like, T, stop banging my friends' girlfriends. Like, it creeps me out. And then. But his wife works out twice a day, hardcore workout.
Right.
Like,
I finally just saved a picture on the phone. It sounds creepier than
it is. Of Sabrina?
Yeah.
She's gorgeous.
Yeah, she is.
Are you kidding me?
No, she is. And she's eating more vagina than cervical cancer.
Like, I love this.
It's brutal.
Who knew I had as much in common with you as I... this is freakish.
I know.
How long have you been doing this?
20 years.
Really?
Yeah, 15 hardcore straight on, but maybe some little off and ons here and there.
Super hot.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. New girlfriend there, Lavender.
Ah.
She's gorgeous.
Right?
I do care for the dusky ladies.
Yeah. She and I have been together about a month and a half.
Wow.
Really, really sexy. Really gorgeous.
Ooh. And she's down with this whole 3 girlfriends?
Yes. All my girlfriends are bisexual or open to bi play. You know what I mean?
I gotta work harder. I got a great girlfriend. She's great.
Yeah.
I mean, great, great. Like, amazingly great. Yeah, but that's not gonna be 3 of them.
It's right.
Like, I know where the wall is, and that wall ain't getting climbed.
Right.
But she, I mean, couldn't be cooler. Couldn't be more fun, more thoughtful, more lovely, more open, more everything. But she, there's no 2 more coming our way.
That ain't gonna happen.
No.
Yeah, that's a drag. Sorry, brother.
Well, you know what? These are
and by the way, look,
my cross to bear.
I want to be really clear about something. They have boyfriends and date mm-hmm. people too. That's the other thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
All my like what I tell my family.
See, I'm out on that too. So that's what I can't be like. I'm not watching somebody just really do a better job than me. I can't do it.
How can the number one jock in KC be insecure? What is wrong with you?
That's how you get to number one, and you know that.
I know. That's true. Absolutely true.
That's a fact. That is absolutely a fact.
Emery, if you're just joining the show, dear friend, man, he's going to be at the Comedy Club of KC Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 103rd and State Line. It's going to be fun, man. I really am. Hey, let me do a couple commercials. We'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more. Let me get this in. You stay for a minute?
I'm here.
All right, stay right there.
Thanks.
So good to see you, Emery. So man, good.
Thank you. Thank you so much. When did you get Hal to do your VO work?
Times are tough, right? You know you have friends when you pick up like it never stopped.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I that's how I feel standing here working with you guys. This is incredible. Yeah, you know, it's funny. Really, my memory is really, really awful, and you have been here for how long? Tell me.
Technically, here in this room, 4 years ish.
Yeah. Okay.
Because remember, the original was Murphy.
It was right. It was Murphy.
Yeah,
originally.
That's right. That's right.
And why does she look so familiar to me, though?
Because I've been elsewhere here in town.
Maybe
we may
that's
have just
it.
Crossed paths that yeah. way. Yeah. I've always been
she's
here.
She's this kind of bubbly personality. Everybody
that's
wants to
it.
Be near.
Yeah.
That's definitely it.
But I have a face issue where I can't remember names and faces well, but they look. One time I was working at Universal, and we're sitting in a room for a full half hour while a guy pitches a show, and I'm taking notes. That's my job in this production meeting, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm supposed to take notes and then present them to the producers later with specific points that I think are strong. That's my job.
Okay.
Halfway through this meeting, I just do a stupid thing, and I go, you look so familiar. Have we ever met? Did you do comedy? I'm trying to piece together.
Right.
And my producer goes, Emery, no, you remember him from watching him on TV. This is Randolph Mantooth. You probably saw Emergency when you were 7. Shut up. Let's continue the meeting. I'm like, oh, sorry. Sorry about that.
Oh. So familiar.
Just an idiot.
Oh.
I'm an idiot.
Oh, my God. It's so fun, though. You're like, oh. By the way, my favorite thing is as you tell me now, we hadn't gotten it. You know, that is your job. When you hear somebody pitch something to take points down, you thought we're good. What was I doing before this break? You were out of the room. I was pitching the idea I had for a movie, not knowing that's what you do.
That's just one of the things I did. Yes,
sure you did.
It's a great idea.
No, for a movie. I would never do it because I didn't do it well. I didn't just walk in there and knock it out of the park.
A good pitch.
I would never have pitched that had I known that's what he reviews for a living.
A good pitch is the idea. Anybody who has to do a pitch really well to sell it has a bad pitch.
Yeah, well.
The idea is, you could say it in a sentence, it's good or not.
Well, after the anniversary of Woodstock just passed.
Yeah.
To me, that's what all went click, 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 click,
right,
click.
Right, right,
right. And it's such a great story. Yeah. I don't care about it at all. I just want someone to run with it.
I know, right?
I just want to see it. It's so good.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a great idea.
Don't get him started on Skinner's tree.
Yeah?
Jesus.
Yeah. There's a whole nother documentary waiting to be done.
That's your after the
air break. So we went down to Mississippi. We went on a motorcycle ride.
Jesus.
Hey, whole Bob and I.
I haven't been down there in a while.
Yeah. No, it's just like you remember.
You ain't from around here, are you, boy?
Yeah. Hot, steamy, but we're all Skinner fans. So there's a tree where the plane came to rest that is really... It's an incredible oak, and back when the accident happened, people had made pilgrimage to it, and they'd carved their names and messages and songs and all of this into this tree. But over time, history just took over, and everything got bought up around this property by one as a Vietnamese owner of a chicken farm, big industrial chicken farms, a majority, a farmer who doesn't care for anybody, and they finally... Just now, when we went in, we had to get permission from this Vietnamese guy. I had to have somebody, an intermediate, come in and talk to him for us. And then he allowed us to walk a mile after we parked our motorcycles through the woods, hopefully to find this tree, which we did do. And it's a somber moment when you see it. Like, it's where one of the great American bands, you know, more than half died.
Right.
And so I just kept thinking about this tree's going to be gone one day. There was no marker. There's no real... monument to it. Just 3 weeks ago, they finally finished an actual monument. It's not the real place, but as the crow flies, it's probably 3/4 of a mile from there. And we just kept talking to the guy who got this really nice monument to the band, explaining what happened that night. And he was one of the guys who came, who was a farmer, didn't know who it was, but he was one of the guys who pulled them out of the plane that night. He was a kid.
Wow.
And, you know, his reasoning makes the documentary work. Like, we didn't know it was a band, or we just knew we had to help.
Mm-hmm.
They just came out of their houses because they heard this and ran through the woods to the fire and started pulling bodies and people out of this fuselage that had disintegrated. and the story of the whole night and the way it goes, but I want to take this tree so bad. The farmer who actually owns land would let the tree go, I believe, because he doesn't want people there. But I was like, this tree's got to be saved. All of that stuff that's carved in before some a-hole, it's just going to take one guy now to ruin it. Because before it was kind of protected. You couldn't really get to it. Nobody knew who it was. And the people around it didn't let you in.
Right.
Now there's this tourist destination less than a mile from it. And as the crow flies, people can find it now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we should make instruments. Take it to Gibson Guitar. Take it to Dean. Take it to whoever. And then make, you know, guitars, make anything that you could sell for music programs down in Florida, down in Jacksonville, Florida, or in Mississippi, in Gillsburg.
Yeah.
But before it goes, that should go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It should go to a museum. It should go to the Mississippi or the Florida Hall of Fame, Music Hall of Fame. But something before that's gone. Like when you see this tree, you'll realize why it would be so important to save this tree.
Right.
And to think about the airlift it out of there, take it
that
out of there.
That would be magical and beautiful and
people
perfect.
Would love it.
Yeah.
Americana, man.
Yeah, it's a great idea. You need to make more money so you can do all these projects that are brilliant.
Right, I know. Only $100,000 a mistake, you know? I've seen too many of that. And I watched, you know, because that craze, you saw it, like the reality show craze. It was all $80,000, $90,000 a pop for a reel.
Wow.
People going broke left and right.
Right.
Because they had a surefire hit that never really worked.
Yeah.
That's Hollywood, right? That's L.A. That's what you've been doing for 15, 20 years.
It is. It's. I still have one project that's still sitting, not done, because the director on that project hasn't moved it forward, and it's really a bummer. But only one. I only have one failure, but it makes me nuts.
When you can feel it in your guts, like you know.
And it's a good film. It needs to be finished.
Yeah.
It's not a failure. It's not done yet.
Yeah, it's not a failure.
That really is how we look at that. We could put it out at any point, but it's in somebody else's hands, and I don't have any control over it, and it makes me crazy.
Yeah, I don't feel like I'm some creative genius. What I do think I can do is spot a great story, because I love great stories.
Sure.
I love falling upon them. I love hearing them. I love when people explain it to me. I like digging in and finding it. And when you find one, you know, really, really resonates, you know, it's good. You just know. Yeah. All it takes is a good director and a great editor and somebody to put the story together that knows how to tell it.
Right. And, absolutely.
And so what I'm telling you, Nikki, is I need you to talk to your husband. And I know he has money. His dad was a banker.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been very wealthy his whole life.
I don't know that he has money. He came back to work here.
He did it because he can't stop bossing people around.
That to be true.
And
it takes the pressure off me.
Empty nesters, you two.
Swingers?
No.
Pussy.
Yeah. But anal.
All right. High five.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah.
All right. Nikki's back.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and listen. And you guys have something in common. Her cousin diddled her when she was 5.
Really?
Yay!
My uncle, he killed himself recently.
He did?
Oh. The uncle
did?
The uncle did? There should be fanfare right now.
There's a form of a relief. You're
He absolutely.
My first year in radio, I didn't know what you could and couldn't do. Mm-hmm. Emery walks in and starts on the air telling me about how his uncle left him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was like, I don't know. Am I supposed to laugh at this moment?
Congrats, he's dead?
Really, really great thing. And
I understand completely.
He got caught doing it again. And was called to the mat by family, denied, then went in the house and killed himself. And it was like,
you did the honorable thing.
He did the honorable thing, solved the problem. It can't happen anymore, you know. I mean, listen, he started on me when I was 5, and it didn't stop till I was 14. It was 9 years he molested me, and which is the longest relationship I've ever been in. You got to look at the bright side.
They're pros
always
and cons.
Look on the bright side of family rape, is what I'm saying. That's all. I can do that because I was molested.
I completely understand.
Rape jokes can be funny as long as they're delivered by the victim. That's
right.
The rule. You
that's
have
right.
to play by the rules.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. And that's why I go down on guys. I like saying fag. I like saying it. Goes full circle, comes back around.
What happened at 14?
What happened to what?
What happened at 14? Why?
You age out?
Oh, no. It's interesting. That's a great question. There was nothing specific that caused him to stop that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
Other than maybe I was a little too old for him.
What did I say? Age out.
I think it might have been that. I know he came in the room one night, woke me up, and said, I think we need to see other relatives. I remember that. That's all I can recall. But I don't know what the reason was.
It's not me, it's you.
Yeah. And then he started up with my sister, which sucks. My sister stole Jesus. My uncle, which is that's bull. We had other uncles.
Oh, this is what I'm talking about, mm-hmm. Nick.
Know what you're walking into.
Yeah. It's listen, the Comedy Club of KC tonight, tomorrow night, and Saturday night. This is your chance. This is good first date stuff, people. 130 uh-huh. state line.
Uncle Toby and other gems. Yes.
I gotta go. Listen, it's so good to see you, man.
Hey, thanks for having me in.
How can people find you on all of it? I know you're in Facebook jail currently, but your Instagram, you're on social media, on Twitter.
I got back out of Facebook jail. You can find me on Facebook. I'm Emery Emery II on Twitter. You can call me, 818-634-4070. Give me a call.
He's not kidding.
I've always given my number out. That's what I do.
And just in case you missed that, guys.
818-634-4070. If you have any questions for Emery, Emery, call his cell phone. Text me if you want. I don't care.
Any religious questions, he'd be happy to field those for you.
Listen, man, the number one rule, thou shalt not lie. That mm-hmm. is how it all begins. Now, get out there and tell the world about me and convince them I exist. Without evidence. Just doesn't make sense. Thanks, God. Idiots.
You got to go see him. Emery, the Comedy Club of KC, tonight, tomorrow night, Saturday night. Let's definitely catch up while you're in town, my friend.
I love you, brother.
I love you too, man.
Thank
Good
you.
Good to see you, man. Stay right there. Hold on.
This is the Johnny Dare Morning Show.
The Johnny Dare Morning Show.
On 98.9 The Rock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.